the devil's advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Don't play a lot of Weezer around here, but when we do, I enjoy it. Your phone calls, they could be a part of this big program. You got to dial us, 844-967-2789. I got my buddy Pat Kreitlow from the Up North News. He joins us at 3:50 Central Time in the 4 o'clock hour. I got other fine guests keeping it stacked up in here. We've got Rick Smith, radio host. Dom's joining at 5. Ben Wickler from the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. He is the chairman thereof. He joins in the happy hour as well. So, you know, we're going to keep it rolling. But I want to come back to a thought here. Sarah Palin, she's back, baby, for a GOP that was remade in her image. Columnist Paul Waldman over at the Washington Post, a little more meat on the bones of this one. When Republican presidential nominee John McCain chose Sarah Palin as his running mate in 08, she was meant to be so compelling that the GOP ticket would match Barack Obama in charisma and freshness. And for a brief time, that seemed possible. But under the harsh lights of national attention, Palin quickly became two things at once. An object of worship for much of the Republican base, and an object of disdain, ridicule, and revulsion for liberals. She was, in other words, ahead of her time. And now she's back. She's back, baby. Palin is running for Congress to fill the seat left by the late Rep. Don Young, Republican of Alaska, and she attempts to go from C-list political celebrity back to public office. She finds a Republican Party that has, in many ways, been remade in her image. Donald Trump has endorsed Palin, but her election is far from a sure thing. There are a remarkable 51 candidates registered for the primary. We talked about the fact that it's like an open ranked primary. They'll grab four make it through to the final ballot. So anyways, I think she'll pass through the four. In a statement announcing her candidacy, she explained why she's running. As I've watched the far left destroy the country, I know I had to step up and join the fight. The political kinsmanship, you know, their kin between Palin and Trump is obvious, and they share a similar kind of magnetism in which the people who loathe them find them just as fascinating to watch as the people who love them, or at least that used to be true for Palin after she resigned the Alaska governorship in 09 with one of the most bizarre speeches in the history of American politics. Complete and full term would be the quitter's way out, she said. Think about that for a moment, folks. She moved on to less than entirely successful career as a media personality, cycling through numerous unsuccessful TV shows and failed enterprises. If you don't remember the Sarah Palin channel, which cost only $99.95 a year, don't blame yourself. It was all downhill after 2013 when Roger Ailes cut her loose from a gig as a Fox News contributor, for which they were paying her $1 million a year to opine from a studio they built in their house. It turned out she was a disaster as a TV personality. Ill-informed, inarticulate, offering commentary that ranged from boring to banal. But it was Trump who made Palin truly irrelevant. Even as he appealed to the same people and the same impulse as she had, he took over the party in a way she never could. At least because Republicans wanted a man to champion the patriarchy and one who would do so with a kind of venom that Palin didn't quite manage. So while Palin in 2008 grasped the attention of the party dominated by establishment figures like McCain and Mitt Romney, she couldn't seize control of it in the way that Trump did. And today, that party has been transformed. Though some of the old establishment is still hanging around, just look at the Congress Palin seeks to join. It's brimming with Palin-esque figures, half-wit politicians, whose purpose is garnering media appearances rather than anything so dull as governing, and who want nothing more than to own the libs. Is Palin going to stand out in a Republican caucus alongside the likes of Reps Madison Cawthorn, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Lauren Boebert, Matt Gaetz? It won't be easy, but there's a whole new menu of manufactured culture war controversies for her to weigh in on. Surely someone is dying to hear Palin's deep thoughts on critical race theory and transgender rights. Which celebrities is she mad at? Which books would she ban? Palin will still attract the support of her old fans, the ones moved by her politics of resentment. They complained about Drew sustenance from the contempt and mockery aimed at her from those dastardly cosmopolitan coastal elites. And it's true that those elites looked down on her and laughed at her frequent stumbles, but it was well-deserved. As Trump himself might say, when small-town America sent us Palin, they weren't sending their best. There are people from small towns who aren't narcissistic nincompoops, is the word he uses, and who have a genuine policy agenda that can make an argument for. She was not among them. But Palin is all about the politics of resentment, a politics that offers no hope of ever being satisfied. It has no goals. It can win no practical victories. It can never improve the lives of people it claims to speak for. And it does nothing but justify its own continuation. And even if she makes it to Congress, Palin will be just what she probably always destines to be. A bit player, a sideshow, just one more weird and angry voice added to a symphony of the American right. And who knows, that may be all Republican voters in her home state want. Sarah Palin, for Congress 2022. So I just throw that out there. Now, Evan, you weren't here to help me out, so Luke did. But we've got one soundbite from one of the fine representatives from North Carolina, in this case, Madison Cawthorn, that she hopes to join in the U.S. House of Representatives. And it would be a damn shame if you, our fair audience, didn't hear what he had to say today. Madison Cawthorn is defining what it means to be a woman for the sake of Speaker Nancy Pelosi.
Madam Speaker, the left has ripped away the pen of truth from the author of life. They've exchanged natural science for a party platform and declared war on biology. Your left-wing movement is forcing children to endure radical expressions of sexuality. And yet, you can't even define what a woman is. You might amend a bill, but you'll never amend biology. Science is not Burger King. You can't just have it your way. I am the youngest member of the House of Representatives.
And the dumbest.
I never imagined that arguably one of my sacred duties in this hallowed chamber would be explaining to the House Speaker the difference between a man and a woman. Take notes, Madam Speaker. I'm about to define what a woman is for you. XX chromosomes, no tallywhacker. It's so simple. And yet today, this proclamation of fundamental scientific fact will cause the woke liberals in Silicon Valley to strip you of your voice and ban you until you bow at their altar of falsehoods. Patriots like Charlie Kirk and Tucker Carlson have been muzzled on Twitter for promoting the dangerous and bigoted ideology called science. Madam Speaker, you and your party are living a lie. The Babylon Bee is a more reliable source of fact than you. Perhaps it will click when you hand the gavel to Republicans and realize that truth is king. It reigns with the American Speaker, and you, Madam Speaker, never will again. With that, I yield back.
Why is it every time he says king, he says kink?
I'm not sure. Freudian slip, perhaps.
Ugh.
I'm about to define what a woman is, says Madison Cawthorn. Here is a little recount of that. You can join us if you have an opinion about that fine speech given in the hallowed halls of Congress today by Madison Cawthorn. What a woman is. The North Carolina Republican made the remarks after Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson declined to define woman in her Supreme Court confirmation hearing. Again, a quote from him. The left has ripped away the pen of truth from the author of life. They've exchanged natural science for party platform and declared war on biology. I never imagined that one of my sacred duties in this hallowed chamber would be explaining to the House Speaker the difference between a man and a woman. And I'm just thinking to myself, I wish Nancy Pelosi were in the chamber at this moment. You know, because he's speaking to an empty chamber. Primarily, he's doing it for the cameras. But if she were in the chamber and she just happened to have that gavel, I mean, I would like to see her do a Jacob's hammer, you know, down upon his head. Take notes, Madam Speaker. I am about to define what a woman is for you. And then it reminded me of the movie Porky's. Have you ever seen the movie Porky's? Not exactly the finest of cinematic fare, but Porky's was, you know, sort of a teenage-based comedy. I think it came out in the early 80s. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But there is one scene in which one of the male actors supposedly exposes his genitalia through like a peephole, a glory hole, if you will, into the women's locker room. And the female gym teacher, Mrs. Ballbender, I think something of that sort, well, she apparently sees the, you know, the villainous...
Tallywhacker,
as she later is asked to describe it. And she has this face-to-face, I think, with the assistant principal. And anyways, that apparently is how Madison Cawthorn also decides or describes the penis. It is his tallywhacker. And if you have no tallywhacker, well, then biologically, you're a female, a woman, according to Madison Cawthorn. And clearly, he's got life all figured out. 844-967-2789. I immediately went to Porky's. Jake from Milwaukee, what's on your mind, buddy?
Oh, my God, that was ridiculous.
Best in the brightest. Best in the brightest. Yeah, he's on the ballot this fall. You
know, yeah, I mean, I guess. I mean, if you want to, you know, just a stupid idiot person. But, you know, my background's in biology, and you know, I just have to set the record straight about reproduction and sex. Male, female in the actual reproductive world is actually a very rare thing. It's not done quite a bit, not like quite often. Male, the Y chromosome is actually a mutation of the X chromosome, which means that men, the male side, is actually basically 3/4 of a woman. I mean, if you're looking at it genetically, men are actually the mutation of the female.
I thought she was my borrowed rib, or at least Adam's.
Yeah. And, you know, and just that, too, is like, you know, male-female, as I said before, is a rare thing in the animal world. I mean, cloning and all this other stuff, you know, that happens all the time. So just the science of it, that guy has no idea what he's talking about.
Jake, he would say, clearly, you have no idea. Appreciate your call, buddy. 844-967-2789. Unfortunately, Jake, I was losing you a bit. Let's see how Chuck's doing with his line. Calling in from Minneapolis. Chuck, you listening on AM 950?
Yeah.
Appreciate it, man. What do you got?
That was Meat, was the guy's name, who stuck it through the peephole, the glory hole.
Was it Meat? I can't recall. Did they ever identify that it was Meat?
Yeah, that was his name.
Because he had the mole on his tallywhacker, as Miss Ballbender described it.
Yeah. Because she knew it. Yeah, she recognized it. And everything. That was my favorite show, like, in 1982.
Yeah. I mean, Madison Cawthorn was not alive in 1982. Where do you think you got the historical tallywhacker reference from, Chuck?
Well, and he must be a fan of them early 80s soft porn movies. they were everywhere back in between like 80 and 84. That's all they were.
Well, Chuck, there was Porky's. Porn. There was Porky's Revenge. There was all sorts of those sort of movies, weren't there?
Yeah, there was Private School for Girls. That one was totally just shirtless chicks. And then you had the John Belushi show, Animal House, had some in there.
Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah.
Nerds.
I don't remember Revenge of the Nerds showing any topless ladies.
Oh, yes. Pan down, Chuck. Pan down. You'll recall. Just look it up. It's one of the more famous lines. We'll leave it there. Come back with us. I got a fine guest joining me next. He is Pat Kreitlow. We're going to start featuring Pat's commentary, his daily commentary. He does a news. We'll ask Pat what he does. But he is going to offer daily commentary here on the radio with us on Devil Radio and the Shaw. So tune in right here. We'll give you more details. More Devil's Advocates on the other side with my pal journalist and friend Pat Kreitlow.
Here's a fun fact for you. The average chameleon can point their eyes in two different directions. On the other hand, the average human can't. So unless you're a chameleon, there's absolutely no way you can focus on texting and driving at the same time. So don't do it. unless you're a chameleon.
Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.